In the season of Easter, often John's gospel is prominently on display, and this season is no exception. We have, in essence, been walking through the farewell discourses of John's gospel. Last week, we were in John 10, a significant passage about shepherd and sheep, and this week, we are in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, talking about the vine and the branches. John is the most spiritual of all Gospels, and he has been noted historically as such. But the interesting thing is spirit connotes something that is otherworldly, whereas John's spiritual power comes in the earthy stuff, the earthy images that John lifts up. And this is the earthiest of all, the notion of God as a vine, as in the earth, as deeply connected. I invite your attention to this gospel. If you'd like to turn to it in your pew Bible, please do, or simply listen for the word of God as I read these words. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified in this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Most of you know that prior to coming here, I spent 12 years as a pastor in Center City, Baltimore, Brown Memorial Presbyterian Church in the Bolton Hill area, just blocks from the Sandtown, Winchester area that was the heart and core of the riots that happened this week. So as you can imagine, I spent a lot of time by the TV watching, painfully watching what was happening in the neighborhoods where my ministry existed for 12 years. I know the Sandtown Winchester, that's what it's called in Baltimore, not just Sandtown. The Sandtown Winchester area of Baltimore very well. Know the pastors, knew the pastors of the churches in that area. And by the news, you would think that it was a neglected part of Baltimore, but it's not true. For 30 years, community organizing organizations have been there. The organization I served when I was in Baltimore, BUILD, Baltimoreans United in Leadership Development, which is the local incarnation of the Industrial Areas Foundation, of which WIN is a part here in Washington, D.C. I was a part of that organization. I was one of the co-chairs of the organization. We did low-income housing in Sandtown, Winchester. We did a variety of other things there. A Habitat for Humanity had one of its main branches in Sandtown, and even the mega developer Jim Rouse, who developed the Inner Harbor District of Baltimore and Columbia, Maryland, gave Sandtown his special attention, such that 60 Minutes during the 90s did a segment on Jim Rouse's development of Sandtown. And yet all of it, due to the confluence of a variety of things, including joblessness, the breakdown of the family, police brutality, the absence of good-paying jobs, the absence of the kinds of infrastructure economically and socially, including a lousy school system that underserved its population, were arrayed against all of the community organizing efforts that we were about. And so I spent a good bit of time this week mulling over what we had done, what we have done for 30 years and asking the question whether it was lost or to no effect. Or maybe a better way of asking that question is whether the forces that are arrayed against us are just too big. They're too destructive. It's just too much. I couldn't help but do this because an article that I read this week about that area and the riots in Baltimore in Salon magazine that acknowledged many of the things that I've just acknowledged to you of the work that has been done by groups in Sandtown ended with haunting words. It said, maybe the outside saviors themselves were just too lost to help. Maybe. But it got me thinking about saviors. Mine, yours, Sandtown's, Baltimore's, Washington's. Saviors. Among the scripture that I almost always use at communion, so much so that it just rolls off the tongue. I've been doing it so long. It comes from a morning scripture lesson. When Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, I can't tell you why I use that, except it has to do with the fruit of the vine, of course, and the cup at communion. But I started doing that so long ago that it just, like automatic pilot, it just comes out of the mouth. Even though I confess that I find myself a little bit caught up short when I come to those words, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, as a liberal activist, I don't know about that. I kind of wonder about that. Apart from me, you can do nothing? Really? Nothing? It is true. It's what we teach. And it's the essence of the Gospel of John. I mean, if we're to take our cue from the Gospel of John, it is only through Jesus that we have eternal life. And eternal life is not about life in the hereafter. That is not only about that. Because eternal life, as defined by Jesus in the Gospel of John, is about life here and now. It's the abundant life. It's enriched life. It's the power of life here and now to be lived fully and abundantly. And that life, if I understand the Gospel of John, is about the love commandment. The commandment that we lift up on Maundy, Thursday. Maundy coming from the Latin word, which means commandment, which comes from the Gospel of John, just verses or a few chapters before our morning scripture lesson, when Jesus gives the only commandment in the Gospel of John, that is to love one another. And if you've ever been here on Maundy, Thursday, you know I always say that, you know, love is something that's hard to command for most people. You don't command a feeling, right? But for the Gospel of John, as for the whole of the Bible, love is not about a feeling. It's about what you do. It's about acting for the benefit of the other. It's about building up community, whether you feel like it or not. And then what I will always say on Maundy, Thursday is sometimes the feelings catch up with the actions. There's a powerful thing that the only commandment that Jesus gives us is to love one another, and that love is pointing towards abundant life. Last week gave me an addition to this notion of what Jesus is talking about, I think, as being the vine and we're the branches, and what it means to be a branch. When Jesus said last week in our morning scripture lesson, I lay my life down in order that I would pick it up. Now, I've read that verse before, but before last week it never really sunk in about what it was really getting at. And really, it only happened on Sunday morning as I was thinking about the scripture lesson. So I hope you don't mind if I bring it up again, because the, you know, new spiritual insights don't happen that often. And this one did. Because historically, of course, it was about crucifixion and resurrection. But it's much deeper than that. It goes down to a deep principle of laying down all that obstructs the love commandment. Of laying down isolationism, laying down egocentrism in all forms that it takes, laying down living as an isolated individual, and the isolationism that infects our society in racism, sexism, heterosexism, greed, hatred and self-hatred. Because so much of what happens in our world comes from self-hatred, you know. Laying that down so that we can pick up life. That's what Jesus is talking about here. When we talk about the sacrificial life, too often it comes off very arid and sterile and monastic, that it doesn't really communicate. But what I really think we're trying to get at is something like the abundant life. It's laying down all that stuff that keeps us from the richness that God has in mind for us all, for the deep love and commitment, the deep love that is enriched in community, the deep love that really gives us the abundance that we so deeply yearn for. That's what I think Jesus is talking about. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branch. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Because the truth of the matter is, you can't do anything. We can't do anything without really following in the pattern of the love of Jesus that connects us deeply with that which gives us the fullness for which we were created. And so this week, I had a unique experience. Met with Arnie Graff, one of the senior organizers of the Industrial Areas Foundation. He will be with us on Saturday. He has agreed to be with me as I do my book, but I really am hoping that you get to experience Arnie Graff on Saturday at 10 o'clock. Alice will tell you a little bit more about that later. But we were meeting with him to talk about Saturday's events. And because Arnie Graff was the organizer of the community organizing group that I worked with in Baltimore, and he was there at the very beginning of those organizing efforts, I asked him about Baltimore, and he told us a story that really stunned me. He said that just the day before, last Tuesday, at St. Peter Claver Church, which sits in the middle of Sandtown, they had a meal. And the reason they had a meal is because you may know that the riots destroyed all of the food, all of the stores that would through which people could get food. So the churches have to come to the fore and provide help in this. And so what Build did, the community organizing group I was with, that Arnie was at the heart of, what they did was they offered a meal for the residents of Sandtown, Winchester, and they especially invited the teenagers, and they all came together, and they ate together at table. And one of the teenagers that was sitting with Arnie said to him, you know, this is the very first time that somebody has actually listened to me. And then Arnie turned to me and he said something that surprised me. He said, you know, Roger, you taught me about the importance of table when you were in Baltimore. That's what you talked about. I didn't remember that. I didn't. I just don't remember talking about that. But it's true, you know. Because the table is at the heart of the Christian faith. The table. It's where we deeply connect one with the other. As my wife is always telling me in the Gospels, Jesus is always coming to and going from table. And the people Jesus eats with are outcasts and sinners like you and me. Jesus is always about connecting with people deeply at table, talking, teaching, and listening. That's who Jesus was about. And so the table is at the center of who we are as Christians. The table trains us to be Christian. It trains us in the love of God. The simplest of things, you know. Because, you know, Paul taught us a lot about table fellowship. Because, you know, the Corinthians church that Paul founded, all of the elite, they were bringing their elite food and eating it themselves. They were going to Whole Foods and they were buying up all kinds of stuff and eating everything that they could. And then when the poor people came along, there was nothing left. And Paul thought this was the most egregious thing, that the table of Jesus would be treated this way. And that's why when we come to this table, there's just a little bit for everyone. Just a little bit. Because it's an egalitarian place. Sorry about that. I won't serve that to anyone. This is an egalitarian place. There's just enough for all. Because this is our vision for God's creation. That all have a place for the table and everybody gets treated equally. There's justice for all. That's the first thing we learn at the table. Is in God's good creation, there is enough for all. There's not scarcity. There's abundance. And it's for all of us. And that's the first thing we learn at table. The second thing we learn is about the self-sacrificial love of Jesus and what, how that connects us one with the other, because we share, don't you see? We learn about sharing at the table. Another thing we learn at the table is about how to lay down our lives and to pick it up again. How to lay down all that isolates us one from the other. How to lay down all that isolates us from ourselves. Because again, self-hatred is at the heart of a lot of this. How to lay it down and pick up a love that will not let us go, that will connect us deeply one to the other and to every other creature on the face of creation. Because the whole of creation is represented here. We learn to lay our lives down in order to pick it up. We learn, in other words, cruciformity. We learn to die. We learn to die to that which comes to nothing in life, so that we might live to that which gives life for all of God's people. That's what we learn at the table. It is the most organic metaphor for God in the Bible. That God is not only deeply connected to us, but God is deeply connected in the earth. The vine has to go deeply into the earth, and the fruit of that vine are on this table. And they connect us to that God who is in creation, to the most vulnerable places of creation. God is in Sandtown, Winchester, creating life, and a little piece of that life happened at the table on Tuesday, when somebody, that teenager said to Arnie Graf, "This is the first time somebody's listened to me." That is resurrection and life happening right in our midst. The other thing we learn at this table is that we're not saviors. No, we're not. There's somebody else that's connecting us to the saving power of Jesus, and that is God in Christ is connecting us to the vine and connecting us to the abundant life that will bring life for all of God's children. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't a confluence of events that are destroying God's creation, deforming and defacing it. It seems so powerful, it's overwhelming. But don't you see that the power of love, a love that will not let us go, a love that connects us vine to branches, is the most powerful force in all of creation. And the powers of evil will not prevail against it. And that is the witness that we have. We witness to a Savior that is always already there in the dirt of creation, in the trenches, in the vine, in every place, in every way. We're simply called to come and respond to a love that will not let us go. Amen.